Hello and welcome to the Girl Fuel Podcast. My name is Haley. I'm a registered dietitian and nutrition coach here to help you along your health and fitness journey by providing evidence and experience-based knowledge and full transparency. We have a lot to chat about today, so let's dive on in. And today I am joined by my lovely assistant coach, Zoe. Zoe, how's your day going?
Hello, hello. It's going well on this chilly day.
Is it chilly?
It is chilly. It really got cold very quickly, like a 30 degree difference.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's cold here. It's like 60, which is cold for Florida.
That is kind of cold for Florida.
It is. Well, today's topic is one that we're both super passionate about because it's something that we talk about with a lot of our clients, especially in the first couple weeks and months of their journeys with us. And it's how to identify if your healthy habits are doing more harm than good, or in other words, if you are helping too hard. So Zoe, what are some red flags that you would say that pop up for a lot of your clients when it comes to, their attempts to be healthy causing harm, whether it's mentally or physically?
Where I see a lot of harm in the most people, I think, is overdoing their fiber intake. Believe it or not, or always pushing for more volume in meals and more veggies, but not necessarily a variety of vegetables. So somewhere I see this is someone who is eating a lot of salads and thinking that they're going to just be feeling so good. They're so healthy for it. And they just notice that over time, their digestion just feels worse and worse. Yeah. And maybe they start to notice that they even wake up feeling bloated, and maybe they're really gassy or just super uncomfortable. And then in response, they continue to maybe add more fiber. They're like, okay, maybe this is what I'm missing. And things just continue to go downhill from there.
Definitely. And having that habit of overconsuming veggies and fruits and quote unquote healthy food, I can see that going in many directions. And I know that was a big part of my fitness journey, health journey, when I first got started with tracking my macros and all these different things, was only trying to eat things that were considered healthy, and for me, that got to the point of convincing myself that I didn't like certain foods. And that, has its own mental spiral and disordered behavior with it. But especially, with the vegetables, I also see that that interrupts just your overall caloric intake, right? The majority of females, especially that come to us, are severely under eating. They're not getting enough calories. They're not getting enough protein, carbohydrates, and fat, especially. And when you're eating so many damn vegetables, how can you possibly have room or be hungry to eat anything else? So sometimes when we overdo that veggie volume, we're missing those extra carbs, whether that's rice or potatoes or things that are going to provide us with more energy versus just that fiber.
Exactly. Exactly. And then we see this pendulum swing often for those people where we go from like this super quote unquote, like healthy eating and dealing with like chronic constipation usually. And then we move into people thinking that there are some maybe food intolerances at play because they'll go out to eat, right? And they'll have something that's totally out of the norm. And then they might have like a diarrhea response. So then we see that pendulum swing of like, my body feels unpredictable. I never know if I'm going to go to the bathroom or if I'm going to be running to go to the bathroom. And there usually are some ties there for people and just like little tweaks often that we make. Like, we don't discourage eating vegetables, right? But we can encourage eating more cooked vegetables, for example, or changing up the type of vegetable that you are having to better aid your digestion, like maybe not eating a half a bowl of broccoli on the side of your protein source that you are having.
Definitely. And a lot of the women that come to us who, are eating massive salads or big bowls of broccoli, big bowls of green beans, whatever it is, they have these GI symptoms like Zoe mentioned, and they probably also struggle to allow themselves to eat those more quote unquote fun foods, right? And I know I've been there as well. So then not only do we have the GI distress, but we also have the mental distress. So Zoe, if I came to you and I was struggling with more of the mental as well as the GI aspects of over-healthifying my diet, you know, where would you suggest that I start?
So I usually start with people by asking, what is the most distressful part of your day when it comes to food? What meal are you feeling the most stress around? Maybe making the right choice in terms of your symptoms, but also with what you perceive to be the healthiest choice for your body. And from there, we dig into, okay, well, why are we making the choices that we make? So for example, if someone is eating maybe a yogurt bowl and adding lots of fruit onto it in the morning, and they're feeling these symptoms a little bit later on, and they're just like, wow, I don't know, you know, why this is happening. What I'm eating is so healthy. And they're kind of unwilling to try something that we suggest. And then we dig into, okay, well, where is that fear coming from? What is this doing for you in terms of health if this is the resulting symptom? And so that is a big thing that we start doing, is tying, okay, what foods are you eating or what habits are you having and what symptoms are resulting from that? And do we think that that aligns with a healthy diet? Do we think that that is what health means? And often that is something that is really confronting for people, right? Because we think that one thing might be healthy for our body, but for us in particular, maybe there's a really good reason why that doesn't work within our diet or why it doesn't work in this certain way.
Definitely. And something that we work with a lot of our girls on is just getting more variety in their diet. And that doesn't necessarily just mean variety fruits and veggies. For some women, yeah, that's their goal. We need to add more fruits and veggies. But for others, it's adding some of those foods that may be a little bit more scary, like adding in rice to your meal, or having a meal that doesn't have vegetable in it, and allowing yourself, you know, that freedom. Because I think where a lot of fear comes from, just speaking from both my own experience and working with so many clients, is, well, if I don't eat this healthy, if I don't eat all these vegetables, I'm going to gain weight. You know, I'm not going to be able to maintain how I look now. And that can go with over-exercising as well, which is another thing we'll talk about. So kind of like Zoe mentioned, we'll dig into where it's coming from, but also getting curious and saying, well, what'll happen if you try something new? What will happen if you try a new food for one day and you try having less veggies for one day? You're not going to turn unhealthy in one day, 1 week, 1 month, 6 months, et cetera. You know, a lot of times getting healthy is going to look really, really, really different for everyone. And for some people, it's adding vegetables. For some, it's taking them away.
Absolutely. And part of a healthy diet is being willing to accept that your body is going to go through phases, right? You'll go through phases where you do have to adjust maybe what your intake is and what you were able to eat or tolerate at a certain time in your life doesn't necessarily mean that that's what you're going to need forever in the exact same amounts. And that's a big thing, I think, that we see here of like kind of over-healthifying things, is also expecting that our body is just this computer and it's always going to need like the exact same nutrients every single day. And no matter what, if you follow this, your body is going to feel the exact same. And then we see this really heightened response from people where we start being very reactive to what our body is doing. And then we tend to like tighten that healthifying grip even more, right? We're like, oh, well, like what else can I do here? Like, why is my body acting like this? And it just goes back to, well, we don't really have a lot of body trust, which is why we often tend to just keep tightening the reins, because we do think our body will just go out of control.
Yeah, definitely. And I see that a lot when clients come to us, especially where they come to us feeling bloated, they come to us dealing with constipation, dealing with just not being happy in their body, whether they want to lose weight or have some body image issues, whatever. And in order to cope with that, they add more to their plate. They add more exercise, they add more vegetables, they drink more and more and more water. And in a lot of cases, when these things are done almost obsessively, they are going to be doing more harm than good. So let's dive into, you know, finding your sweet spot with movement. Like, can there be too much?
Yeah, there can be. And we tend to see that quite a bit. And one of the main things that we can see at times can be over-exercising, which results in abdominal distension, results in that bloating that we know is really uncomfortable. And we know that that symptom is very, very real. But often we see people are just like, well, if I just move more, you know, that must be why this is happening. And really it's the body saying, hey, I'm really stressed out. We really just need to put our feet up and sit down for a minute. And, you know, it's not the best to just be standing 24/7 and then hitting the gym 6 days a week and, you know, getting your 10, 15, 20,000 steps a day. Just thinking that more is better. Our body does tend to throw up those red flags. Or not sleeping soundly is another one, right? Yeah. That we see where like people are just so tired, but their body just cannot feel rested. And then they're trying to do all these other healthy habits during the day, you know, adjusting their caffeine, all these things, trying to over supplement. And really their body is just, it's so tired from just moving too much and just not having enough nourishment with that movement.
Definitely. And I don't know about you, but I feel like just seeing social media over the last year, 2 years, it doesn't help with these things. Even, you know, I have clients that study nutrition as well, or have just been, you know, on their health and fitness journey for a long time that will come to me. And I know you get this a lot too, and be like, hey, I saw this on Instagram. I saw this on TikTok. You know, all these girls have these 17-step morning routines, or how can she eat that healthy and look like that? Or, you know, she's exercising this much. And we have that comparison in there. So I feel like the state of social media right now makes us feel like we have to eat all the vegetables all the time and eat organic and be taking thousands and thousands of steps and trying all these detoxes, flushes, and all of this stuff. And it doesn't take into account how everybody's body is different, and whatever some influencer is doing, that doesn't mean it's right for you. It doesn't even mean it's right for them. Like, we don't even know how they really feel.
And I really love that you said that about the routines, because just last week I had a check-in call with a client where we talked about how she actually needed to step away from her morning routine, because just having to wake up and reach this really high standard, right? Like never accepting anything but excellence. And just like, you know, it doesn't matter how you're feeling today, just wake up and be grateful and, you know, get after it and do this. That was actually causing her a lot of stress that was preventing her from having this emotional resiliency throughout the day, because already she's waking up and she's just like, I'm not good enough, right? Because we're always just being told like, just add this to your morning routine, do this, just be rigid in this way. And like, you'll be a healthier version of you. But what happens when you're so burnt out from that, because sometimes we can get the message of like, you know, just put in more effort and then you'll be happy. But often we see it where people's mental health does kind of tank the more rigid that they do get with those schedules. And then they're just lost and like, what is wrong with me? I feel so ashamed that, you know, this doesn't work for me. And then we go back to the idea that, again, like we're not this machine and we can't just keep adding these healthified things and thinking that we're always going to get a certain output. And like you said, it comes back to the person, right? Some people are going to thrive on like a 17-step morning and nighttime routine. And for them, maybe that's going to help them be their healthiest self. But if doing that prevents you from being able to go out of routine, for example, maybe for your loved ones, like if you're at the point where you're like, screw everyone else, my routine is what matters most. That's one of our red flags that we look for of like, yeah, maybe you've been praised for that. I don't know, perseverance or whatever you want to call it, dedication, but that's a sign that it's actually unhealthy, right? Because connecting to other people is something that is healthy to do.
100%. And I'm glad that you brought that up, because a lot of these things, they are red flags. And I think they all start innocently. They all start as, I'm trying to be healthy. You know, I saw this person do this morning routine. I learned that eating more vegetables was going to help with XYZ. And they start with good intentions. But at a certain point for a lot of people, especially if you are more of like a type A human, which I feel like a lot of our clients are, and I know I used to be, right? We've had this conversation so many times, like, do we think that we are type A or not? And there's nothing wrong with being type A or type B or whatever the fuck else types there are. But I can honestly say personally, when I was more type A and was always trying to be healthy, healthy, healthy about everything, my life wasn't as good. You know, relationships were ruined. I was too obsessed with tracking my macros, my morning routine, to where I wasn't able to be present and fully live life. So that's where what we're getting at with, you know, are your habits healthy doing more harm than good, is are they preventing you from living your life to the fullest? Because you can have both, right? You can have your version of healthy while also living a very full and well-rounded life socially, So that's where, like Zoe said, if your morning routine is breeding stress, like if you go to bed and you're like, all right, you know, my book's laid out. Oh my God, I have to do all these things before I log into work. Girl, put that morning routine in the closet, put it in a box, pack it up and leave it there. Your morning routine doesn't have to be anything more than waking up, probably brushing your damn teeth and doing what you need to start your day. Maybe some days that's watching an episode of Netflix. Maybe it's petting your cat. Maybe it's going for a walk. Maybe it is literally sleeping in an extra hour, right? There's no right or wrong way. And healthy is going to look different for everybody. But like Zoe said, having that flexibility with it is really important, whether it is because your grandparents are in town or your spouse wants to do something, or maybe you're just not feeling well. So imagine waking up and feeling like absolute poop, right? Because it all happens. It happens to all of us, whether we're sick, our period, whatever, and being able to lay in bed and say, hey, it's okay. I don't have to be productive right now. Because I think right now, that's what it is. Everyone feels like they have to be productive all the damn time. And that in itself can be unhealthy.
Yeah. Yeah. And a kind of like spicy take on this that popped into my brain is, you know, the over-reliance on the routines and really putting them up on a pedestal of like, well, of course, you know, I'm going to have a crappy day. I didn't do my morning routine. Well, why are you throwing away the rest of your day because you didn't do the morning routine? Well, if you do that and you rely really hard on the routine, it allows you to kind of take away some accountability for yourself of like other areas like right in front of you where you're like, I can make a tiny, like teeny tiny choice right now to actually help with my day. But no, I, you know, my morning routine was off. So like, I'm just going to have a crappy day. And I feel like we kind of hear this quite a bit from people where there's like a lot of stress around that. Or like, I didn't do my nighttime routine last night. So of course I slept terribly. And of course I, you know, have a terrible day today. Well, is it because you didn't do your nighttime routine? Or is it because you went to bed mentally festering about the fact that you're so mad that your nighttime routine got interrupted? Like, we can begin to overly rely on the routines where then we can't really see what we can actually do to help ourselves have that better day, to have those healthy habits. If you're someone that you feel like if you miss your morning smoothie, then you're going to spend the rest of the day making food choices that don't make you happy, then that's not a sign that you need that morning routine. That's a sign that you need to focus on that relationship with food. But again, we can take away a lot of that accountability by saying, well, it's all about routines.
Exactly. It is. And don't get us wrong, you know, having routines is key. It is so, so helpful to have a general baseline of knowing, hey, you know, if I want to get up on time to go to the gym before work, XYZ, when I'm feeling good, this is my routine. That's great. But the lack of flexibility with your routine is kind of what we're saying could be, you know, masking something unhealthy there. And I know I've tried to routine myself into being more productive. I've tried to routine myself into having better energy when in reality, structure wasn't what I needed. And Zoe, I know we talked about this so many times because Zoe is my best friend and also helps me with mindset stuff, just like she helps our clients because she's amazing. It wasn't more of a routine that I needed. And that's usually what we see with our clients too. It's more letting yourself chill the fuck out. It's more giving yourself mental space and freedom to relax, more time to do things that are enjoyable to you rather than trying to be a robot and execute perfectly with every single aspect of life. Because that picture of like the perfect day, perfect life, perfect meals, having that in your mind is going to do more harm than good, right? Because striving for that is damn stressful. I don't know about you. It is stressful.
It is really stressful. And one thing that comes to mind is when clients really stress about something like eating organic, right? And then something happens where financially they have to tighten their budget up and then they start struggling and slowly their nutrient variety goes down because they're like, well, I can only buy organic because if not, I feel like I'm really doing a disservice to my family or I'm harming my body. And when we peel that back, if we're really limiting our diet and things that are helpful, like non-organic vegetables and the like, then we're really going to have health consequences. And it's not down to like, how is this farmed, right? And what kind of pesticides are on the food, because that's generally what organic is talking about. It's It's when we start to get boxed in, right? Or you're finding yourself being really financially stressed over buying certain foods. That's another big red flag of like, financial security is an aspect of health and one that really isn't talked about a lot in the push for like, just buy more supplements, buy this, buy that. But we need financial security in order to have health. And that is a big problem right now. And that's something to consider of like, if your dietary choices or feeling like, if I don't buy this supplement or do this, like I'm going to be harming my body, but we can peel it back and say like, okay, well, does the science like really support that? Then that's when we really say, okay, this is actually something that's really unhealthy and is not serving us well.
Definitely. And I know you had a client not too long ago who was struggling with that a lot and was, you know, wanting to eat organic because it's what she thought was healthiest for herself and her family. But once, you know, you guys were able to work through that and she was able to buy, I think the first thing you said she bought was blueberries that were non-organic. And she was like, they were great blueberries. Like I enjoyed them just as much. And I was able to actually afford them because they were like $5 cheaper or something crazy like that. And it's like, if you're either going to eat organic blueberries or not eat blueberries at all, which is healthier, you know?
Right. And then she was able to buy like more fruit for her family.
Yeah.
Right. Like rather than being like, okay, guys, we have one pack of blueberries to feed our whole family for the week because that's our budget for this produce. It's like now we can buy multiple kinds of fruit. We can buy multiple types of veggies. And it's totally cool if you want to buy things that are organic. But again, if it's becoming a stressor, that's when it's really important to peel it back and say, what are my fears here? And is this something that I really need to dig into? Because, you know, we can always find that like confirmation bias, right? Like if you want to pop into Google how eating non-organic is going to kill you, like you're going to find that stuff, right? But you can find just about anything that you want. And if that's the angle that you're taking it, of course, you're going to find that really validating information. But then what happens? You become more and more stressed because the diet is just like simply unsustainable in that phase of life. So it's just when we start to move from like, okay, this is kind of a stressor, but like I can manage it, to this is causing some distress in my life, then that is a really big problem.
Definitely. And we can almost think about it. I don't know if you use this analogy a lot, but I used to use it with clients when we were training in person. And, you know, how comfortable are you with this exercise? Because I worked with a lot of clients that had like back pain, knee pain, and we'd use red light, yellow light, green light. So like green light, you know, you're good. It's not really stressing you out. Yellow light, okay. You know, the stress is there, but it's manageable. And then red light, it's on your mind all the time. You know, it's something that you're really struggling with. And obviously there's gray area there, but that is something that, you know, could be helpful if you start noticing reoccurring thoughts around some of these healthy habits and stressors too.
Yeah. It's really great to do a personal inventory and say like, how is this making me feel right now? Like when I'm thinking about this, because this is where I pull in things like the emotion wheel tool with my clients to say, okay, well, is it because you feel maybe embarrassed if you buy this food versus that food because of some underlying belief or value system or experience that you've had? So there's a lot of reasons, right? Like why we are the way that we are or make the choices that we make. And that awareness of like, when is this helping me and where is this actually hurting me is kind of the discernment that we need, because we can get a little lost sometimes and like we can't see the forest for the trees anymore when it comes to health habits, because we can often forget that the health and wellness, like it is an industry, right? And we hear about this with healthcare, but it's the same thing in what we do. And we have to remember that there's always going to be the next thing that you can do, the next thing that you can healthify. But if adding more to your plate is going to really stress you out, that is not a sign that you just need to reprioritize and dig deeper. If you already have a lot of things that you're trying to do for yourself, it's often a sign that you just need to peel back and say, okay, when am I going to do a serious self-reflection and see what's helping me and what is actually hurting me? And just remembering that there's always going to be extra noise about always something else that you can be doing. And you're never going to reach the top of that mountain. And I say that to be encouraging and not discouraging, because there is no top of the mountain. Like it's always going to be in phases.
Definitely. This is an ongoing journey. You know, you don't do these things for a year and then boom, you're healthy enough to never do them for the rest of your life. I think this is something that's been more and more common in the industry lately, which is a good thing. Working with a coach or even like a medical team to get healthy is something that people are starting to see as a long-term thing, right? People are starting to see doing better with their nutrition, learning from a dietitian or a nutritionist. This is a way to be a better version of themselves, right? So when it comes to the healthy habits, and macro tracking is another one that I want to touch on briefly. We could do a whole nother like hour long podcast about tracking your macros. But before we wrap up, I think this is another one that we see a lot of clients really struggle with, because I see clients all the time where like, oh, I have to get back on track. I hadn't been tracking. And the first thing I'll tell them, and I know you do the same thing, is that's okay that you weren't tracking. Like, how were you eating? You know, how were your meals? How did you feel? Because tracking is just an action, right? Just because you didn't track your food doesn't mean it was any less healthy. It doesn't mean it was any less delicious, and doesn't mean that you needed it any less, right? So when we talk about, is tracking your macros a healthy habit? For some people, yeah, it's really helpful. It's an educational tool. It helps us make sure that we're not under eating. It helps us meet our nutrient goals. But for some, you know, it can become that all in, all out mentality where if I'm tracking my macros, I'm on track, I'm eating healthy. But when I'm not, all hell breaks loose and I don't know how to eat. So that is something we try to avoid with our clients, right? We want you to feel like you know how to nourish your body, whether you're tracking your macros or not, and appropriately using them as a tool. But Zoe, where do you see that becoming an issue too?
When it stops being a tool and it starts kind of becoming this like idol.
Yeah.
Which I think if I say that, you're going to know what I mean, if this has been a thing for you, where it's just like, well, if my fitness pal says, like, I'm going to do it, right? And this is where I see it as a slippery slope of we get into like some really bad, just really bad habits of like completely forgetting that we are autonomous people and it is an app, right? This is something that it is a computer app. Like, I'm not a computer person, so this probably sounds really dumb, but like it's not necessarily going to exist forever, right? But say my FitnessPal servers go down tomorrow, which can totally happen, right? Like, that's a thing. They could totally go down tomorrow. And if you feel like you would panic, that is a red flag right there. And not a red flag because you're dedicated and you want your streak, because again, like, yeah, it's kind of an action to like track your food, but at the same time, like feeding yourself is actually the action, but tracking your food just kind of feels good and gives you that little like dopamine kick that, you know, you're sticking to your numbers and all of that. But if you feel that panic of like, if I can't log this, my fitness pal, like if you are someone where you're going like out of the country or going camping or just wherever where you're not going to have your phone and you panic. Yeah, that's another sign of like, okay, we have a little bit of an unhealthy relationship here. When you feel like your body is just going to be out of control, if you're like, if I don't know what's in this, then it's a free for all, you know, it doesn't really matter. Then that's a big red flag that if the only thing holding our quote unquote control around food is an app and maybe shaming ourselves because of the calorie amount in something, that is not a really healthy mindset that we see. It's really, again, are you kind of stressed because like, yeah, you're on this like rigid diet and you want to meet your macros, or are you distressed because you can't input the exact restaurant meal that you want, or it changed when you got there and now you're not totally sure, but you ate your macros all day around this specific macro count that you were going to have. Those are all things that we see that are just not healthy habits.
Yeah. And I think tracking macros is something that can go from helpful to harmful really quickly. Like Zoe mentioned, eating is the action that matters. And that's what we tell our clients. They're like, oh, I was so busy at work, I didn't track today. Okay. Did you eat your breakfast that you usually forget? Yeah, I ate my breakfast. Okay, great. That's all that matters. I don't care if you tracked or not. Like, you ate the damn breakfast. You nourished yourself. You felt good because of it. That's great. That is what matters. And that's where we can go down so many different routes of when macro tracking is healthy versus harmful. And we're going to do a whole nother episode on this, on that. So if you like this one, look out for the macro tracking part two. But hopefully this was helpful to help you identify which of these healthy habits, quote unquote, are actually helping me, which ones might be harmful, and where to start. Because Zoe, you did a really good job of talking about taking an inventory. So is there, you know, any final note or anything like that you'd leave for people who just listen to this episode and are wondering, you know, where they're at?
Yeah. So if you're really curious about where you are at, if anything in this episode kind of made you pause or made you have that little like gut feeling, heart racing a little bit of like, oh, maybe that's me. I welcome you to find our content on Instagram and send me a message. And let's have a conversation about it, of kind of what your question is of, you know, is this healthy or unhealthy? I will say that if you are questioning it though, I think that that is something to listen to and that you should get really curious about that and not judge yourself, and just see, you know, does this mean something that maybe I don't feel as good about my habits? And if that makes you feel out of control, then maybe it is time to seek some professional guidance, whether that is a consultation or working one-on-one on a consistent basis.
Definitely. Awesome. This episode honestly was really fun. And I feel like we brought up a lot of other things that I didn't even think about when we were planning it. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. And I will leave Zoe's information as well as my own in the show notes. As always, our doors are always open. We would love to be resources for you. And until next time.